Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Be a Revolution, How Everyday People Are Fighting Oppression and Changing the World and How You Can, Too, is a 2024 nonfiction book by Ijeoma Oluo, best known for So You Want to Talk About Race and Mediocre. It is a social justice and activism book that shifts from diagnosing racism and white supremacy to examining what ordinary people are doing to resist them in practice. Rather than centering abstract theory, Oluo profiles organizers and community leaders working across institutions such as education, housing, labor, healthcare, and policing. The book is built around a practical question once structural oppression is understood. How do people respond effectively in their own communities? Its purpose is both analytical and instructional. It describes how collective action, community organizing, and local initiative can produce concrete change, while also offering readers entry points for participation. The result is a broad, accessible account of anti-racist activism that emphasizes lived experience, strategy, and action over despair or passive awareness. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book moves from diagnosis of oppression to a focus on what people do about it. A central idea in Be a Revolution is that awareness alone is not enough. Oluo assumes the reader may already understand that racism and other forms of oppression are embedded in major systems, but she uses that starting point to ask a more practical question: what comes next? This change in emphasis matters because many books on race stop at explanation, leaving readers informed but unsure how to act. Oluo instead frames anti-racist work as a response to structural conditions that can be challenged through organized effort. The book, therefore, functions less like a theory primer and more like a guide to action. By making this shift, it highlights a common gap in public conversations about justice knowing. The problem does not automatically produce a path forward. The book's value lies in connecting analysis to responsibility, showing that understanding oppression should lead to material engagement in social change rather than moral reflection alone. Secondly, community organizing is presented as the main engine of structural change. Oluo repeatedly emphasizes community organizing as the mechanism through which ordinary people influence institutions. This is important because it relocates political power away from elite decision makers and toward coordinated local action. The book's examples show that change is rarely the result of isolated heroism. Instead, it comes from people building networks, identifying shared needs, and developing sustained pressure within their communities. That framing gives activism a realistic shape. Not every intervention has to be national in scale to matter, but it does have to be organized. By focusing on collective work, the book also rejects the idea that social change depends on individual virtue alone. It suggests that local groups can reshape schools, workplaces, health systems, and public services by identifying leverage points inside those systems. This makes the book useful for readers who want a practical model of activism, grounded in ordinary civic participation rather than symbolic gestures. Thirdly, institutions such as schools, housing, labor, media, and policing are treated as interconnected sites of oppression, rather than isolating racism as a single issue. Oluo looks at the institutions where oppression becomes durable and everyday. Education, media, labor, healthcare, housing, and policing are not treated as separate policy areas, but as overlapping systems that reproduce unequal outcomes. This is a key structural insight because it prevents readers from reducing injustice to one bad law or one bad actor. The book shows that oppression is maintained through routines, rules, incentives, and cultural norms across many sectors at once. That broad view also helps explain why reform in one area can be limited if other systems remain unchanged. For example, access to housing, fair work, or safe schools cannot be understood apart from the broader social structure in which those institutions operate. By mapping activism onto multiple sectors, the book encourages readers to think structurally, identify where they live and work, and see how local participation can intervene in real institutional processes rather than only in public debate. Fourthly, the book replaces trauma-centered racial discourse with a restorative and loving approach. One of the book's distinguishing features is its tone. Oluo explicitly aims to move discussions of race away from pure pain, injury, and exhaustion toward loving action and transformation. This does not mean ignoring harm. Instead, it means refusing to let trauma be the only frame through which racial justice is understood. That distinction matters because activism often becomes emotionally paralyzing when it focuses only on documenting suffering. Oluo's approach tries to preserve urgency while also sustaining hope and participation. The result is a model of anti-racist writing that is less interested in shaming readers than in giving them a usable entry point into the work. This restorative orientation helps explain why the book has been described as practical and accessible. It invites engagement by showing that the work of justice can be rooted in care, community, and persistence, not only in outrage. In that sense, the emotional framework is also a political strategy. Lastly, The book functions as a practical toolkit for readers seeking an entry into activism. Be a Revolution is designed to be usable, not merely persuasive. Its practical orientation is one of its strongest features because it helps readers translate concern into participation. Instead of assuming that activism requires expertise, the book suggests that people can begin where they are, using the resources and relationships already available to them. That makes the book especially relevant for readers who feel politically sympathetic but uncertain about next steps. The usefulness of the book comes from its attention to entry points. Readers are encouraged to look at workplaces, neighborhoods, schools, and local institutions as places where organizing can begin. This approach lowers the barrier to engagement without trivializing the work. It also recognizes that not everyone has the same level of time, money, or public visibility, so effective activism must include many forms of contribution. In this way, the book operates as both a reference point and a prompt for action, giving anti-racist commitment a concrete shape. In conclusion, Be a Revolution is best suited for readers who want more than a general critique of racism and are looking for a grounded account of how anti-oppression work actually happens. It will be especially useful for people interested in community organizing, racial justice, public policy, and practical activism, as well as readers who appreciated Oluo's earlier books and want to move from interpretation to action. The book offers intellectual value by showing how multiple institutions reinforce inequality and how local initiatives can disrupt those patterns. It also offers practical value by encouraging readers to identify realistic entry points into activism instead of waiting for perfect expertise or ideal circumstances. What sets it apart from many books in the social justice genre is its emphasis on living examples, collective strategy, and a restorative tone. It is not simply an argument against oppression, but a map of how ordinary people are already challenging it. That combination of urgency, usability, and specificity gives the book a distinctive place among contemporary works on race and activism. If you would like to support Ijeoma Oluo, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.